destroy the work of Satan. He has given us victory.
That's why we sing, oh, say yeah.
Hallelujah. You know, that's the most important thing we have, is when we have the note of victory inside, not outside. When you have it inside, it's a matter of time. You see it outside. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So to celebrate our Independence Day, we have a recitation from our youth church. Please welcome YY. Amen. Just keep playing softly. We're just going to flow. Amen. First Sunday of the month is our communion service. I welcome you all. Amen. You are wondering where why was. This is why. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. Today I'm going to be talking about the short history of Obafemi Awolowo. Chief Obafemi Awolowo was a Nigerian nationalist and statesman who played a key role in Nigeria's independence movement, the First and Second Republic, and the Civil War. As a young man, he was an active journalist, editing publications such as the Nigerian Workers and others as well. After receiving his Bachelor's of Commerce degree in Nigeria, he traveled to London to pursue his degree in law. Obafemi Awolowo was the first premier of the Western Region and later the Federal Commissioner for Finance and the Vice Chairman of the Federal Executive Council during the Nigerian Civil War. He was thrice a major contender for Nigeria's highest office. A native of Ikene in Ogun State of southwestern Nigeria was where he started his career, like some of his well-known contemporaries, as a nationalist in the Nigerian youth movement, in which he rose to become Western Provincial Secretary. Chief Obafemi Awolowo was responsible for most of the progressive social legislation that has made Nigeria a modern country. Why am I sharing this with us? Apart from Chief Obafemi Awolowo, we had other great founding fathers of this nation, like Dr. Nnamdi Azikiwe, Alhaji Tafawa Balewa, Sir Ahmadu Bello, and the likes. But here is the real deal. Even as Nigeria clocks 61, there's one leader only we can put our hopes on and never be disappointed. and that is the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, who saw that we were lost, but gave his life a ransom to redeem us and give us an amazing lifestyle full of power, love, his grace with the capacity to manifest and showcase all that he represents. Happy Independence Day, SJA Nigeria. Thank you.
Thank you. Great. Amen. You wonder. Ecclesiastes 1 verse 9 says, what will be is what has been. And there's nothing new under the sun. That underscores the importance of history. Amen. But it's good to know history. And I keep telling people that, you know, sometimes I have conversations with people and I tell them, you know, what I hear is that we don't know the history of our nation. We don't know the history of the world. And that's why you are saying what you are saying. You know, so my children don't like history. They felt it's too long and all that, all the things they teach in class. But I told them, I said, you know, I really like it. I think it's one of the most important subjects you can ever learn. What has been is what will be. Amen. And if you understand history, you realize that the things that you see around, they have happened before. So when you see certain things, you can tell where things are going. You know, you can tell people like, this is what will happen next. And they think it's prophecy. Not prophecy, it's history that is informing you, because there's nothing new under the sun. Hallelujah. And I like that conclusion, that they are great leaders, but the only leader, the only person that can save a nation is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It's not any president or any governor or whatever. If God doesn't help him, except the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that build it. Hallelujah. So remember to pray for the nation every time. Spend a minute or two every day when you pray. You know, there are people who say, I don't know what to pray for, so I can't pray long. Pray for Nigeria. Add that to your prayer point. Amen. You know, by the time you think about other things and people and not yourself alone, you will soon be spending a long time in prayer. Amen. Even if you think that this set man said, just talks, he doesn't understand what people are really going through. Pray for me. Add me to the prayer point. Amen. Before you know it, you'll be spending 30 minutes, 1 hour. If you are really praying, you know, for everybody that gives you concern, add them to the list. Amen. And just spend some time praying tongues for them. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. It's a communion service, so I just flow. Amen. I didn't know whether I would continue my message on world changers. Maybe not. But we have a testimony this month. Do we have other testimonies? We have a testimony already. Please come. Any other hand so that I know where I see your hand. Any other hand? I see yours. Okay, please come to me.
Hallelujah. Praise the living Jesus.
Center small. Don't run from it. This is where the anointing is on this rock.
Hallelujah. First of all, I want to thank the Lord for the salvation of my soul. I want to appreciate him for making me strong in his word every day, each and every day. I want to appreciate God for this. And now my testimony is into two, actually. At home, we were believing God for something, and it was looking as if it's not going to work. And there was no work coming in at all. So my dad was just down, and I believed in God, because I'm somebody that I believe so much in God. I don't, even if I don't have anything with me, I believe that something will just happen miraculously. So I just told him that he should be calm, that everything will be fine. And then personally, I went to God, and then I talked to God about it again. And within that week, God just answered the prayer miraculously. And I want to appreciate the name of the Lord for this. And again, I want to talk about the first Saturday prayer. Like, two Saturdays for that 2 months, I was unable to attend. Is it that I'm not around or something happened that I won't be around? But I just said that this September that passed, I'm going to try and come, even though I came a little bit late. But I met the prayer, and it was Daddy Sajere that took the prayer. And while he was praying, I was just focusing on God, and all the prayers he was praying, I was believing in God about the prayers. So after the Saturday prayer, throughout September, I must tell you, God has been faithful. God, every of my prayer that I prayed during that Saturday prayer, everything, God answered everything without even leaving one. So I just want to appreciate God for this, and I want to plead to us that we should try and attend Saturday prayer. God answers prayer here. Hallelujah. Thank you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Amen. So she's begging you, please try. Amen. Please look at your neighbor and say, please try. You see, they can't say because they didn't come themselves. Amen. Okay, look at your neighbor and say, I'll be there next time. At least that one you can do. You can make it and say, I'll be there next time. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, 7:30, it used to be 7. Before, it used to be 7. So 7:30 is a little easier. Amen. You can cook yam before. You can grind the beans. Amen. For akara. And only go back after to fry it. Hallelujah. You know, there are ways around all the, you know, Saturday morning nice breakfast show. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay. That is Ajere.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, church. On Thursday, I went somewhere, and I was meant to pick the kids from school. Normally what I do is, when I pick them from school, I'll drop them in the office to be with their mom a bit, then she closes and we all go home. But something happened that Thursday, and which is why I'm sharing this testimony. There's nothing that is as important as you being open to the Spirit of God to be able to guide you when He speaks, and you know, you hear exactly, precisely, and you can obey. Amen. And then I just got up. I heard it very clearly in my heart that I should just go out, drive, and go turn from this. It looks senseless, right? Just came out of the office, enter the car. I just go and turn at Emmanuel and come back. My wife was even wondering, where are you going? I said, I'm coming. And I just did that. And what happened was, the next thing I observed, my brake failed. Apparently, the ABS has been showing me sign. And the brake just failed. Thank God I was not on high, I was not on speed. I was just going JJ. And next I did was, I just gently went to park the car at home. I just managed to park it at home. And then, why I'm sharing this is because what I would have done was go pick them from school, come pick my wife, and we'll all go home. And sometimes when there's traffic here, we just take the express. If that had happened when we were on the express, and you know your speed on the express is different from what you drive within here. I just want to give God praise because it's very important to hear Him and hear Him clearly. I was able to do that also. I was able to take control of the car and gently take it home because I was alone. If the kids were in the car, it would be different. You know, children would be, you know, apprehensive and all that. It will also affect me and all that. But I just give God praise because I heard it clearly and I strictly obey. I just went on my own. You better say, let me face anything than say anything else. So I just want to give Him praise. I just want to give Him praise. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Primarily, that is telling us what? The children of God are led by the Spirit of God. They will hear His voice. Jesus said that in John chapter 10, my sheep hear, not they might. He said, my sheep hear my voice. So what we need is a lot more sensitivity, a lot more obedience, amen, to do these stupid things or the things you can't explain. When He lays them on your heart, He says, take a walk. Get up and take a walk. Amen. He says, give that person some money. Go ahead and give the person money. He says, greet that person very warmly. Go ahead and do so. You don't know, maybe that person has had a horrible week. I was beginning to feel like he or she was worthless, nobody loves me, blah, blah. And then suddenly you're like, hello, really good to see you. You hug the person, how are you? Ah, wow, I missed you. All of a sudden, what is happening is that God is reaching that person through you. Because the person has concluded, nobody cares about me. But by your singular obedience, sensitivity and obedience, you have turned that around. Hallelujah. Great. But that. Who else? Anybody else? Okay, great.
Praise the Lord. Praise Master Jesus. I just have to thank God for the salvation of my soul. Last week I traveled to Abuja. In the evening of Friday, I and my brother, he was driving ahead of me and I was driving behind him. There's one guy who was drunk to stupor. He hit my brother's car before he hit my car. I just have to thank God. No life was lost. Nobody was injured. And I thank God, saved journey back to Lagos to the glory of God. I drove. Even though the case, we involved police in the case. But at the end of it, I told them, let me withdraw my case and go back to Lagos. I thank God for journey back to Lagos. His name be glorified in Jesus' name.
Amen. Hallelujah. He says he will keep your going out and your coming in. Hallelujah. Okay, Sister Books.
Praise the Lord. Sorry, I'll sing a short song. Esheo Baba, Esheo Jesus. Of life, my family, both immediate and extended, for keeping us throughout this time, COVID and all, he has been faithful. So in August, Mr. Andrew Oju was supposed to travel. Okay, so let me say, I've been attending School of Miracles, and each time I've had experiences with God. And in August, when he was supposed to travel, I told myself that, okay, I'm going to do much more than I've been doing. So when he's away, I'm going to like pray all night and try and dedicate more time, you know, to praying and praising God. And it was as if the devil was like waiting for me and saying that, no way. As if he knew that if I do that, he's in trouble. So he attacked me in August, and I felt ill. I felt very ill. And throughout August, I wasn't well. And even September. But I just want to thank God that in the midst of all, he kept me. Even when I was now feeling, how will I put it, as if God had deserted me. Why would you let this happen to me and all? But in the midst of it, he brought me back, and I had to focus on him. I had to draw strength from him so that I could go on. And I thank him for healing. I thank him because I am here, alive, and I'm able to even join the choir back. This is the first in like 2 months, so this is the first time I'm able to minister with the choir again, and I want to thank God that I am back. He is faithful. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. And I don't know, only you can explain some of those things, but I know somebody else was very ill. And, you know, as I was thinking this morning, that when I'm crucified with Christ, I said there's something that happens when you're that ill, about how you see life, you know, how you see life and the priorities. Just like what we're discussing in the Bible school, you know, many things don't mean anything anymore. Yeah, many things don't mean, you know, things mean a lot to us because we are okay. But when you are very ill and you are at the doorstep like that, and you feel, am I going to die? Many of the important things that you call important are no longer important. Amen. And one of the things I tell people, that was a pastor, was shot, you know, attacked armed robbers in the church, shot, injured terribly. And for about a year or two, he wasn't available in the church. He had multiple surgeries. So when he got back, I told the people in the church, I said, get me his messages. I want to listen to him. I said, because when a man has been, you know, at the doorstep of death, his message will be very strong. He will tell us as it is. You understand? There are still many things we look at in the Bible and we are still trying to decide, it's too difficult for me to do. It's because you have life. Are you getting what I'm saying? You know, what would change if suddenly you know that at 3 p.m. today, Jesus is coming to take his own? You know, many things won't be important again. The reasons we give for doing this or not doing this, we throw them out and we focus on what he said to do. And that's how to live life. Amen. It's for us to remember that all of the time. I think if Pastor NY is a first testimony, I mean, in that regard, to thank God. Thank God for strength. Thank God for succor. Thank God for comfort. Thank God for his word. Amen. Because, like you said, you still have to draw strength back from him. What if you didn't know God? What if you didn't know God? And it's just a concussion. Somebody will bring a boot today. Somebody will bring another tablet tomorrow. And that's all you were dependent on. How would it be? You know, you discover that all of those things too are fickle. You know, we need God. Amen. We are not against, of course, medicine or whatever. Go for it. Go for it. However, you discover that even with the use of all of those things, you need God. You need your faith in God to see you through. Hallelujah. So I like Psalm 23 that we read this morning that says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art what? With me. Just because you are with me. That's the reassurance that comes. I can see death. There's a valley of the shadow of death. Death, death, death all around me. But when I remember that God is with me, it's enough. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Let's give him praise this morning. Let's appreciate him. Thank him for who he is. Song is coming to me. You are who you are. Yesterday, today, and forevermore. What you say is what you do.
Oh,
that has just been coming to my heart, and I'm going to drop that before we take the communion. John chapter 5 verse 1, it says, after this there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the Sheep Gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having 5 porches. In this lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been in that condition a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred. But while I'm coming, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. I just had this scripture on my heart since yesterday. Like I said, I was in between. Am I supposed to continue the series I started? I kept having a bit of a reluctance not to. I knew certain things I was going to say next, but I had a little resistance. But I had John 5 coming to mind. And here, a simple descriptive story. So honestly, I'm just flowing with God, whatever he wants to say. That they had this place, mysteriously, there'll be a stirring of that pool. And the Bible says they were waiting on it. And every time the pool was stirred, whoever gets in first gets healed. Two things were coming to my mind. One is, there is always a time of a stirring of the pool. There's always a time when there's a move of the Holy Ghost. There's always a time when God is doing something. But that God is doing it doesn't mean that I'm getting it. I'll have to jump in to get it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That the pool is stirring, even though there are sick people with all kinds of sickness, doesn't mean they're going to get healed. They will have to get in to the pool. Too many people are expecting that it's all up to God. God is going to have to do it all by himself. He's not going to do it all by himself. He's going to stir the pool. But the jumping in has to be done by you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Jesus was speaking in Matthew chapter 11, and he said, I think that's also verse 11, and he said, from the foundation of the world to now, the kingdom of God suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. One says the violent jump into it. You'll have to make an effort to get into the things that God is doing and to get what you need out of it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There has to be an act of faith. There has to be an aggression of faith. There has to be a desperation on your side that says that I'm going to jump in. I'm going to get in. I'm going to get it all. So you can watch. People are testifying. People say things. God has done this for me. God did that for me. There has to be a decision in your own heart that says that I am going to do this. I'm going to get it also. You know, when Zabuki was testifying, one of the things I like had nothing to do with the testimony itself, but had to do with the fact that she said, my husband was going to travel, and I told myself, I'm going to pray. You know, it's that desperation that says, you know what, God has been doing things, I want to step in the water. I want to get more than I'm getting. So it's that act that begins to set you up for the miraculous of God. You hear what I'm saying? It's that act that says that I'm going to take a step. I'm going to do something more than this. I'm not just going to be watching it all. I'm not just going to be hearing it all. I want to have testimonies like I've had. Are you with me? Sometimes I'm listening to people and they're telling testimonies of how God did this and God did that. And I'm thinking within myself, I'm going to pursue God that much also. I'm going to pursue God. That's God stirring. You know, so when God is doing it, it's not the time to be jealous of that person. God did this. No. It's the time to be challenged. and inspired to say, you mean God is doing this kind of thing? Then I'm next. Somebody said, you know, if when God does a miracle, you don't get jealous of your neighbor. You need to just know that the queue has become shorter. I mean, so if we're all on the queue trying to get it from God, and somebody is testifying he has gotten it, then the queue has become shorter. So I'm moving closer to my turn. Hallelujah. But there has to be effort. What we need is that thirst, is that hunger, is that desperation. The people were there and waiting. I'm waiting upon the sign of God. Let be a stirring, and I'm going to jump into the water. How desperate are you for God? James chapter 4 verse 8, it says, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. The actions have to be on two sides. God has to move and you have to move. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Nothing just happens, but things are made to happen. I like the late R. W. Schambach. Every time he closed his broadcast, he will say, you don't have any problem. All you need is faith in God. That's how he closed every broadcast. You don't have any problem. All you need is faith in God. That doesn't depress me. No matter my challenges, what it says to me is I must get that kind of faith in God. I must do everything I know to do plus the one I don't know yet. I have to know it and begin to do it until I get the kind of faith that ensures that I really don't see any problem. Are you still there? Let me say this secondly. But the Bible says that there were many people there with all kinds of conditions. And then Jesus walked up to this man who had been there 38 years. 38 years. The Bible says when he walked up to the man, he went to him because he saw that he had been there a long time. He saw that he had been there a long time. I have a perception in my spirit this morning that as we take the communion, the long-standing issues will be addressed. The long-standing issues, the things that you have been believing God for, and they seem like they are not coming. The man had died in 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 38 years. The Bible says that Jesus singled him out because he had been there for too long. And I believe that this morning, he's singling out the long-standing challenges. You know, there are certain things that you don't even pray about anymore, because trying to pray about them sometimes wants to depress you, because it's bringing back the memory of how long they've been there. But I believe he is addressing them himself. You didn't bring it up, he's bringing it up. And he's bringing it up because he wants to solve it. Hallelujah. You know, there was a time I was... And that's the way God works. I mean, God works that mysteriously. The other day that Mr. Zadir was testifying about his leg, I thought he would talk about the leg being something that happened 2 weeks before. But he said he had had the condition how many years? 6. And I was thinking, was it 6 years? It's about over 6 years. You know, and one of the things that struck me is, okay, over 6 years, God had healed you of many things. You understand? So the leg one will look like this one is supposed to be managed. You get what I'm talking about? Yeah, because God has healed you of many things. So the leg has been left. So why all of a sudden? Because sometimes God picks on the long-standing issues. Kenneth Dickens said there was a gentleman that worked with him in his office. Of course, I'd been in many miracle meetings with him. He said he had prayed for him on the condition many times. The thing was still there. He said, but just one day he was ministering generally and just laying hands on people, and he just turned to the guy and said, be blessed! And the guy was healed of that condition that he had prayed for him. They had not even prayed. He didn't even think of the condition when he prayed for the guy that day. So don't say, oh, well, you know, I've been in school of miracles many times over this matter. You know, if God, that is what God is bringing to you, God wants to deal with it this morning. Are you hearing what I'm saying? God wants to settle it this morning. There are times he just speaks. I was preaching one time many years ago, and as I was just teaching, I gave an illustration, an example, and I talked about, well, you know that some people, when they brush their teeth, it bleeds. I said, and then all of a sudden it struck me that I wasn't just giving an illustration. I was talking about somebody, and I said, no, that's not an illustration. That's a word for somebody. That when you are brushing your teeth, it bleeds. You are concerned. I mean, the bleeding is quite much. It bleeds virtually every time. And it has become normal to you that when you brush, you bleed. I said, but it's not normal. And it's stopping today. And somebody sent me a message later and said, that was me. And it has bled for as long as I can remember. I don't think of it as anything anymore. This is me. Said, but when you said it, I knew you were speaking to me, and it stopped from that day. Are you still there? They said in Luke chapter 1, Zechariah went into the temple to offer sacrifices. And when he was coming out, he and his wife were old, had no children. An angel appeared to him and said, you are going to have a child. In fact, what the angel said was that, Zechariah, your prayer has been heard. Your prayer has been heard. And I was listening to somebody, and he was pointing out that in the original Greek, what he was telling Zechariah wasn't your prayer has been heard. What he was telling Zechariah is that the prayer you are no longer praying has been heard. You know, that is the thing that you have written off. Because at that time, right, Zechariah wasn't praying that anyway. Zechariah was no longer addressing that. In fact, he had no faith seemingly in his heart anymore about that matter. So that even when the angel said, I came from the presence of God and you're going to have a child, he said, how can it be? So the prayer, he was no longer praying. The angel said, it has been heard. I'm saying to you this morning, the prayer you are no longer praying has been heard. Are you there? The things you don't even touch, you just say, you know what, I still love you, Jesus. Despite. He said that despite, I'm going to fix it. Hallelujah. Let's stand on our feet this morning. You know, I remember when he said Lester Sorrow met Smith Wigglesworth, and he was preaching at the meeting. Smith Wigglesworth was there. I think that it was less than Smith Wigglesworth. So he kept on preaching. And after some time, Smith Wigglesworth went and tapped him and said, God stopped 15 minutes ago. When are you going to stop? He was a very crude guy. He said, God stopped 15 minutes ago. When are you going to stop? Are you there? Father, we thank you. As we take the communion this morning, we remember our covenant with you. Good, great covenant. Based on better things than the old. And because of our covenant, we trust you. Just as your word has gone forth, that you confirm it with signs and wonders, with miracles, and various distributions of the Holy Ghost. Let long-standing challenges and issues be resolved this month in the name of Jesus. Even the things that we can't even remember, but had been an issue, thank you for turning them around. Thank you for doing that which only you can do. Thank you because you show how great and how mighty you are. Since the foundation of the world, there has been no God like you, who acts on behalf of those who wait for him. We wait for you. We wait on you. And we trust you and we thank you for acting on our behalf. We give you praise. We give you glory. In Jesus' name. Remember me. surrounds those that fear him. So never mind the insecurity, news flying around. Always think about that and think that your case is different. Your case is different. Your case is different. It's long-standing issues. Thank him for resolution. You don't know how, but thank him for resolving them. Thank him. Thank him for resolving them.